Thanks be to God for giving us another opportunity that we can gather wherever we are to listen to God's word. And I believe that God wants us to be people who will bless others because God has been blessing us and He's been a wonderful strength in our life. We realized the last week we were looking in a series called Strength for Today and Hope for Tomorrow. We need God's strength, right? We need the power of God in our lives. And last week, we were looking at our journey together with Christ. You know, the comforting thing about that particular passage is Jesus is fully aware of what's happening in our lives. He knows where we are. He knows our struggle. He knows our pain. And He's a God who's there to come to help us. So it's always good for us as people who love God, as a church, right, to pray, to call together on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to see how great and wonderful this God is in our life. Before we look at Paul's writing this to this church, where Paul is challenging this church, and he's saying, this is your Christian responsibility. God wants you to be people who will be instruments of His blessing. So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity that You've given us, that we can listen to Your word. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is active. Your word is so powerful, O God, that it is sharper than the two-edged sword. We pray, Lord, we want to listen to Your voice. We want to be obedient people of Your word, O God. And so, Lord, we pray, motivate us, shake us, O God, and help us, O Lord, to be people who will be obedient to Your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Strength for today and hope for tomorrow. You know, the theme that I wanted to look today is standing together as His church. Now, many a times in the past few weeks, we were looking at how, as people who love God, we can draw strength from God, because God is our strength, our hope, and our joy. And not only that, I think God wants us to look at the world, right? That there's a needy world out there. There are people who are struggling. The people in a different or difficult kind of a situation. Many of them do not know what to do. I think it's a responsibility, it's a call, it's a challenge to each and every church that God wants us to be His salt, to be His light. And so, you know, this week, I just want you to pray for people who are known to us, even our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues. You know, just think of them, even many countries, right? Just think of them, spend a time just praying for them and asking God to intervene in their lives. The passage that was just read to us is a beautiful passage because Paul is writing to these young believers, and Paul is wanting to not only to challenge them, he was excited about, you know, their joy in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul was so excited. But then Paul wanted them to be much more rooted. He wanted them to be much more steadfast in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he writes this particular epistle to them, because that was another issue the church was also struggling about. It's about the end of days. They did not know how to interpret. And so, you know, and they were struggling and they were caught up with other teachings too. And so Paul is challenging the church, you know, because Paul's desire is the church will be rooted in Christ, will be steadfast, that each and every member of the church would be caring for one another. And together, there will be people who will be reaching out to the community. And so when you look at this particular passage, there are three descriptive terms Paul is using when he writes to the believers. You know, the church is not an organization, right? The church is not a building. The church is not an organization, but it's an organism. It's a moving, it's a growing, and it's a powerful organism. And someone said, the church is not a monument where we maintain the church, but the church is a movement, right? It moves, it brings people to experience the joy and salvation that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is challenging the church by using three descriptive terms by saying, you know, this is your call, and this is what God wants us to. Church, wherever you are, you know, this is what God is calling us, each and every one of us, to have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the passage very carefully. The first word, you know, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, instead, chapter 2 verse 7, he says, instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. So the first descriptive term Paul is using is the care of a mother, right? He's using the care of a mother. You know, I think all of us know about mother's love. Whenever, you know, we have problems, when we are afraid, that the first person we always run to, and unfortunately, it's not to our dad, right? We run to our mothers because we know they love us, they care for us. Not that our fathers do not love us, but our immediate respond is to run to our mother. And so Paul in verse 8, it says, well, for we cared for you. And so there are interesting words that Paul is using here. The way he's using the word care is like, you know, when someone is ill, what happens? You know, we apply medicine to the person and we, you know, we apply in a very gentle manner, right? We soothe them and we just be with them. And that's the image Paul is saying, you know, we want you to be like a mother, just caring, being there, being gentle, just helping them, just guiding them and being with them. Another word Paul is using in this particular text in the Greek, you will realize, you know, he's using the word, you need to be supporting. In other words, the way Paul uses the word support is when you see the mother hen, right? When there is some kind of danger, it will ensure that the little ones are under the arms of the mother and they feel the heat, they feel the security, they feel the presence, the protection of the mother. And so Paul is saying, you know, this is how you and I should be, that we should be showing the care of a mother. And then Paul also continues with the same thing. You know, he talks about, we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel. He uses the word share. It's a very interesting word that Paul is using here. You know, he's using an image of a breastfeeding mother. The mother is feeding the child. So she is sharing the nutrients that she's having in her body. And so she's sharing, she's giving. She's giving all the best that the child will be stronger, the child will grow, and the child will someday be strong like any other person. And so that's the image that, you know, Paul is sharing, that not only we support, not only we care, but we should be, you know, being like the mother, just sharing our blessings, the word, the joy that is in us, whatever that is in us, we are giving to the child. Dear church, I think this is what God wants us to do. This is the time God wants us to show His love to people who are in need, not only to the people in our church, but people in the community, maybe to our friends, or maybe to our relatives, right? Maybe to people we know, we have met, just sending them a text by saying, are you fine? Are you okay? Is there something that I can do for you? I think that was what Paul wanted the church to do, to show the care and to share the love of the mother and to make sure the child is always protected. If you continue with the passage, you realize, you know, Paul is using another word. He's talking about the concern of the brother. The concern of a brother. Read the passage very carefully. Then he says, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardships. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. When you look at this particular passage, you know, Paul is writing to them. He's using the word brethren in a very masculine way. But he's talking about brothers and sisters. You know, when I was reading 1 Thessalonians, Paul, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he's talking about the love of the brother. You know, brothers always sometimes can be, you know, having some kind of issues within themselves. They might have rivalry within themselves, but there are moments in their time when danger strikes one of them, the other brother jumps, right? Because they want to care, they want to be there, and they want to protect their brothers or sisters. And so that's what Paul is inviting the church to do, right? You need to have the concern of the brother. In this particular passage, Paul is talking about, you know, the labor of the brother. It's not just being a brother, but he uses the word that we toil, our toil and hardship. The idea Paul is using is, you know, we are beaten down. In other words, we are willing to take the difficulty, the challenges, the struggles for the good of our brother, so that our brothers will be blessed, that they too will have the joy, they too will have the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is a body of Christ. Right? I think God is reminding us this particular passage, that the brotherly love should be seen with each and everyone in the church. So let me encourage you again, right? Encourage your brothers and sisters who are in the Lord, right? And just send them a note, or even make a call today and say, you know, how are you? And I've been thinking about you. And just take a moment, even maybe spend a time just praying for them. And send them texts or verses that would actually encourage them. And that's what Paul says, that we need to be showing the concern of the brethren. And lastly, you know, let me look at another descriptive term Paul is using. You know, Paul uses another powerful term, and I know fathers all looking at me, right? What about us? What about us? And so Paul uses the word, and he uses the word, you know, the companionship of the father, right? And Paul says, you know, we need to be like the fathers. Fathers are the ones who are there, who want to protect their kids. They want to make sure, you know, they want to live a life of example. You know, they are the providers, they are the protectors. And so Paul is using the word here. Let's read in verse 20. He says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, you need to be like a father. He's using this descriptive term by saying, you need to be a father who's a model, was an example. And so he uses the word, like he says, you need to be holy. In other words, he says, you know, as a father, we need to be holy deep inside us. That holiness is inside us. We are holy. And then he uses the word righteous. Not only we are holy inside us, we are loving God, we are filled with the presence of God, but we are people who are doing good deeds. Deeds that are righteous in the sight of God. And that's the way Paul is saying. And then he says, you know, the result is we are blameless. We are blameless, Father. And so I think that's what God is calling not only the fathers today, but even the brothers, the sisters, the mothers, that we need to have the holiness in our heart that comes only with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That our righteousness should be seen through our good deeds, because faith without deeds is dead. So faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should lead us to deeds. And he says we should be blameless, that others would be able to say, this is my father. What a blessing to have him. And so Paul continues, right? He also continues when he talks about the father. He says in verse 12, he uses the word, they're encouraging, they're comforting, and they're urging you. In other words, he uses a very interesting word, almost a word similar to the word that is used for the Holy Spirit, but it comes with a different meaning altogether. The Holy Spirit comes and joins us right? But whereas here, the father is calling the child, the son or the daughter to their side and talking to them, encouraging them, bringing them to their side and saying how much they love and giving words of knowledge and words of wisdom to them. And he says that not only that, you're comforting them. If I put it in a very a layman's word, it's just putting their arms around them and just comforting them to know that you're cared for, that you're loved, that you're protected, you know, that you're guarded by me. I'm there for you. That's what Paul is trying to say. He wants the church to be people who will care for one another and for the community or the people who needed God's love. And so he says, not only that, he says, you know, and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy. In other words, your father is not only comforting you, but he's empowering you. He's saying, and I want you to live this life because I've been living this life and I want you to show the love of God, to be a great motivator, to encourage, to comfort, that others also will know God's love through you. That's what Paul is trying to encourage us here. So my friends, moments like this, it's very normal for us to think about ourselves, to think about our needs, think about our lives. But I think it's important for us, because the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, it compels us, right, to look at people, to look at the needy people around us, to show, to care for the community around us, to care for our brothers and sisters, that we are willing to share what we have. And we are there as brothers to show the love, right? We are there. We will be there for you. At the same time, I think he talks about another descriptive term is the Father, encouraging, comforting, right? And urging them to live a life. You know, before I pray, I want you to just take your phone, and I believe all of you have your phone. Take your phone, right? Maybe why don't you send a message of comfort to someone in the church, right? Someone, maybe the Lord is just bringing that person to your mind, and send them a word of encouragement by saying, and I'm praying for you. So it's just to say a prayer for them and just send a note and to say, you know, I'm praying. Or send a word of encouragement to them. And take the same phone again. As I said, send a message to your friend or maybe a colleague that is working from home. You might know in your workplace this person so quiet, or maybe who needs some kind of help. Just send a text and say, and I've been thinking about you. Is there something that I can do for you? Is there something that I can actually pray for you? Let me tell you, that is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ compels us, my friend. Faith without deeds is dead. We have the joy of Christ. We have the love of Christ in our lives. It compels us. It compels us. Let me encourage you once again. Send a word of encouragement. Pray as a family immediately after this service for someone that you feel that they need your prayers. And God will definitely bless us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love that is upon us, Father. There was a time, O God, in our life that we were just wandering in darkness. Lord, we were living a life that was just contrary to your word. But because of Jesus, but because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, today, God, we have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We have you, Lord, as our Savior, as our Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we have our hope, Father. As we read earlier, that you want us to be the salt and the light of this world. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, help us to see the needs of this world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Help us, O God. We want to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, as we are gathered together, we are going to partake the Lord's sacrament together. Some people call it it's the Lord's sacrament because it was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people call it as the love feast because you see the love manifested. Jesus came. He gave his life. He died on the cross, right? Some people say, you call it as a great thanksgiving because we thank God for what he did on the cross for us. And some people call it the Last Supper, the last fellowship that Jesus had with the disciples. That's not the end. The Last Supper also teaches us that we will have fellowship. We will communion with God. And so with that attitude, you know, let's come and take the Lord's Supper together. And let me read the passage Paul writes to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, and he reminds when we come together as God's people, how we are expected to partake in the communion. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. And do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And the words also says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We proclaim God's death, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. We proclaim that he is coming and he will surely come. With that promise of God, you know, I want you to take your communion cup or maybe a juice. Think of his love for a moment. Think of his care for your life. The first thing, we will take the bread and remember what God has done for us. Let's partake together, my church, the body of Christ. Let's partake together, remembering that Jesus died on the cross for us. The cup of the new covenant. Let's partake the blood of the new covenant. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us today. You are with us yesterday, God, and you are with us today, and you are with us tomorrow. Lord, we thank you that we can fellowship with you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the call that is given to us, O God. We want to show the love of Jesus. And so, Lord, help us. Anoint us, O God. Empower us sent us, God, into this world to radiate your love. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.